is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 805 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you'd like to come in here, 713-780-3776. Come hang with us. All right, number one story, Rockets win.
Yeah.
All right, for those of you just joining us, just getting in your car, Rockets win. James Harden with another 40-point game. Only three people have started the first two series of the playoffs in game one with 40-point games. Elgin Baylor, Sam Cassell, and now James Harden.
Killed it.
Killing it. That's story number one. Story number two, Texans draft. What you think they did a nice job with?
I think they did. They wanted to get faster. They got a lot faster, and they addressed needs. They addressed a tight end with two picks. They addressed one of them's a – well, both of them.
I think Akins contributes this year.
He could.
Martinez, you think he could he could – will he start in game one?
I'm going to say no, but I think there's a chance.
He's active.
Yes.
Martinez Rankin's active.
Yeah.
Which will be put him 2 years ahead of Xavier Sufilo when he was drafted.
Yeah.
Two full years.
He's a third rounder, too. Xavier was the first pick of the second.
Yeah. And, of course, their Kiki top pick, Justin Reed, will start game
Justin
one.
Justin Reed, I think, is starting game one. Justin Reed, they say, is... So I talked to a team about Justin Reed out of the combine. I said, hey, how was Justin Reed in interviews? And they said, oh, my God, super smart. Studies film like a maniac, knows every, you know, and his brother's Eric Reed. I mean, he's got an NFL brother.
Is he woke like Eric?
Not as much.
Goes to Stanford?
Not as much.
Goes to Stanford where they have a Christmas tree.
Let me put it this way. I think Justin understands if he is, he doesn't want to be his rookie season.
No, and he doesn't.
Maybe even.
I think he sees what's happening to Eric, too. No.
Maybe he wants to wait until a second contract.
Yeah.
That might be the case, too. But I can tell you this. They say he's super football intelligent, is a great leader, is extremely aggressive on the field, which you can see on tape. He's fast. He's a really good pick, man. I was super excited. I could barely contain myself on the draft broadcast for the Texans to get a guy that I thought was a first-round talent in the third. I was really happy.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So that guy, I didn't know that they would draft a guy that could well start game one in the third round.
Right.
And here they might have two. They might have two. And I think Akins is going to contribute as well this year and be a big contributor for this team. It's just, well, let's face it, the tight ends, you're going through six of them this year because that's what you do. That's what the Texans do. They go through six of them. 713-780-3776. And then the Astros. The Astros are just percentage points behind the Yankees right now for second best record in the American League. And the two of them play a four-game series. Yankees come in here with nine straight wins. It's going to be Charlie Effin Morton against. And how about against Sonny Gray? How about you can't get freaking Gerrit Cole to win again? You score eight runs and he still can't win.
I know.
2-1. And the dude has 61 strikeouts, which is the most for a guy in April in Astros history, and he's 2-1.
Well, shouldn't have gave up those three runs. Now should he?
That's on him.
That's on him. Don't give up three runs. You win the game.
Another quality start.
That's a fair point.
That's all he does is hit quality start, and he can't get a freaking win.
Stop slacking, Gerrit Cole. Gave up three runs. Had a chance.
His whip right now is .79.
How about that? He had 10 strikeouts in five innings.
Strikeouts
two
per
out of
nine.
Three. Two. He was striking out two out of three outs.
His strikeout per nine is now 13.2.
Which is stupid.
That's unbelievable.
That's stupid. That's closer. That's Mariano Rivera.
Where is his batting average against? I mean, they can't be.
It's dumb. It's dumb how good he is, and he's 2-1. While Verlander's 4-0 right now. So your Astros and McCullers is 4-1. They're getting decisions. Keuchel 1-4 now, dudes. Keuchel got bit lit up by the A's. He's got to face Minaya. First he faces. How about he gets Severino, And then he gets Manaea again in Oakland on Monday, next Monday. So he's off to about as shaky a start as you could possibly have for Dallas Keuchel. He just hasn't been the same guy since the All-Star break.
No.
Disappointed Dallas at the All-Star break has not been the same guy.
But New York is about to taste their own blood. Because it never goes well for them against the Astros.
Will the Astros sweep or just win 3 out of 4?
I'm going to say sweep.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think they're poised to sweep. Del, sweep or win 3 or 4?
2. They'll split.
3 out of 4. Del says 3 out of 4.
They'll split the series. 2 and 2.
I can see it going.
No, I see it. You know, Del saying split is like a sweep.
I'm hoping there's a way, like, I have the button that Adam Sandler has when in that movie Click, where I can just fast forward through the series.
Through the whole thing?
Because, well, who cares?
Because we're going to talk about it every day. Every segment is going to be Astros versus Yankees.
The Yankees are really good. The Astros are really good. It's such an important series in late April, early May. Oh, my gosh, baseball.
It's unbelievable how big this is.
So important for these two to match up right now.
Biggest series in baseball history.
It'll determine everything the rest of the way these two facing each other.
Yeah.
Oh wait, there's still like 100 games after this. No, it won't.
Yeah. No. It's the biggest game in baseball history. Let's go with Edward right now on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Edward?
Morning, fellas. Yeah, you're talking about Houston being a baseball town. You know, for a few years, we never had football, and the Rockets had already got their championship, so that's all we really had to lean on was baseball, you know. And we were so fanatic about baseball here in Houston, we even had people wishing other players would get tetanus. You know, that's how much we love our baseball here in Houston.
That's me. I also wished, I can't remember who the pitcher was, and I was hoping he would get an abscess tooth.
Yeah.
There was a pitcher I wished to have abscess tooth. I'll wish all kinds of bad things if it'll help my team win.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm unapologetic about that.
Though, is ugly. I mean, you got to get tetanus shots.
Yeah. Well,
abscess tooth, you know, that'll go away.
Yeah, but abscess tooth will knock you out of a game. They'll knock you out of about three games.
No, but you don't have to get 1,000 shots when you get tetanus.
Well, but you have to have your tooth extracted. You can't play with it. Or you can, like, it can poison your body. Like, it's going to knock you out for possibly a series or at least 3 to 4 games of a series.
Yeah.
Good. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, but it's, again, tetanus is ugly. All right. And
baseball town.
Yeah. Baseball town. Look at the 39,000 yesterday, 41,000, 32,000 on Friday night, 29, 36. People have been showing up. That's nice. They got to average. I want to see 3 million this year out there at the ballpark. 3 million would be totally sweet. And it's very doable. Very doable.
My wife just said our fans kind of suck. I think she's talking about, I guess she's talking about Rockets fans or something. I don't know what she's talking about. She just texted that. I just saw it. I don't know when she.
Don't worry. They'll be there for Game 7 against Golden State.
Our fans don't. I'm so.
Don't worry. It'll be full.
Here's what I don't love. When people hyper-focus, and the worst is Sports Talk Guy. Sports Talk Guy is the worst about trying to make an entire segment or two segments about if the hometown fans suck or if the fans are this or that. Like, watch the games, dude. Why, like, the fans shouldn't be a long-term. It's worth mentioning sometimes, but sometimes it's just like, are you really being that lazy sports radio guy that you're just trying to get a segment out of the fans to ignite phone calls or something? Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Well, I think they're fine. I don't know. You know what? A lot of transplants here, blah, 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 blah. I mean, ticket prices have really eliminated a lot of
people. Fans are slow getting to theirs. First of all, fans are slow. I went to a Jim Gaffigan concert last week. The concert was supposed to start in about, I'm in a parking lot trying to park in Sugar Land at that financial center, whatever. It's packed with people trying to park, and it's supposed to start in like 5 minutes. And all I could think of was, this is just how Houston rolls. We just assume we can just pull in all the time and just park and walk right in. Like, we just don't get anywhere 30 minutes early. We just don't do that for some reason.
What were you doing at Jim McGillicuddy concert?
Jim Gaffigan, comedian.
Oh, Jim Gaffigan. Yeah. He was there, really?
Yeah.
At the Smart Financial? That's a big place.
It was packed.
Was it really?
Yeah, sold out.
Never heard of him. Big toe guy.
No, you've heard of him.
Not really. I went to see a magician on Friday.
Where? At a kid's birthday party?
No.
Were there balloons?
Cologne Dior.
Oh, Colum Dore.
Colum Dore.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was it was pretty good. Ben Jackson, he was really good. Good.
Why were you there? Like,
I don't know. Jenny Damaris. It was Yanni's birthday or something. I don't even know. And she asked, come on, let's go out and do this.
This feels kind of fancy because it was at Colum Dore. But then it feels like a kid's birthday because there was a magic guy.
Well,
and a pony.
He wasn't. He didn't.
Was there
pull
a donkey or a pony?
He didn't pull the handkerchief out of his throat forever.
Oh, no. Look what's coming out of my mouth!
No, he was actually really good. It was actually fun. It was fun. It was a good night. Ben Jackson, if you want to go see, he's actually pretty good. We had fun, and then we went out to dinner, and it was good.
Where'd you go to dinner? What is that place called? The Magic Place? It was.
Yeah, Magic Island.
Yeah.
No. I didn't go to Magic.
I took Drake there. I took my son there with the next door neighbor. It was him and a kid named Connor, next door neighbor Jessica. And the three of them went, me and my wife and the three of them. And we went, and it was, it was called Magic Island, wasn't it? That's what it was called.
It was right on 59 there, like, forever.
Way too expensive. The dinner's way too expensive. And magician. I mean, it was cool. You see magicians.
No, but this guy
stuff.
Was really good.
I bet he was pretty good.
He's really good. Yeah, and then we went to Lexington Grill.
Did he do a quarter out of somebody's ear?
No, he didn't. No, he did a lot of his sleight of hand is fantastic. You have no idea how he's doing this stuff. He's
did he levitate like David Blaine? Did he put himself in a block of ice?
No, he didn't do it. I don't want to see that. He played the piano. He was good.
Put yourself in a block of ice.
No. He's good.
Did he put a needle all the way through his arm? What happened to Tony?
Did you wish shingles on Tony La Russa?
If I'm being honest, I think I did at one point. There was a point I was very upset with Tony as he was saying the Astros were cheating. The Astros were, I'll never forget, Tony just said, and the Astros are trying to have an unfair advantage by rolling their signs in the background, their sponsorship signs in center field, and it made it hard for us to see our hitters. They had to try to get an unfair advantage. Like all of your players who were on steroids? Yeah. Unfair advantage?
Yeah.
What are you talking about, Tony?
Unfair advantage. Is that when you puked in your driveway?
That's when I vomited blood.
Yeah, you vomited blood.
Because they pitched
to Pujols.
Got done pitching to Pujols again and hit another home run. That's an organization that not only had a bucket load of steroid users, which the Astros never have had any.
None?
And,
zero?
They also were such a bunch of scumbags that they hacked into the Astros.
Yeah.
Dude's system.
Doing, what, 6 years or so?
Yeah. They had to do,
4 years?
They had to do time. This guy's now got to, like, decide who he's rolling with. Is he the AVers or is he going to be with the, you know, who's he going to click up with in prison? Like, are there other baseball analytics guys and computer guys?
I don't think he has much choice. That dude's a buttoned down little executive. He's going to have to go with the. With the white guys.
Well, sometimes you got to make choices. So Mince, we did that too for a while and ended up losing games. Let's go to Minsky Clinic. Let's talk about Minsky Clinic. So I'm back today. I'm off my schedule by about 4 days. So I go back in and they'll tighten me up at Minsky Clinic. They'll say, okay, we're going to change your dosage a little bit. And that's one of the things that makes them really, really good is that Minsky Clinic makes sure that you have the right dosage so that you are at an optimal level. And I can really tell a difference when I am, you know, when they've got me where I need to be, my optimal level for testosterone. And it's not like you don't have, like you're, you know, Macho Man Savage, you're running around, yeah, oh yeah. But if you are working out, your workouts are much better. You do convert the belly fat to lean muscle mass much, much better. Your energy, for me, it's about my energy level. My energy level spikes, and I just feel like I have just a lot more gas throughout the day where I'm like, yeah, let's go, let's go. Let's get all these things done I need to get done. And it makes a huge difference, and that's what Men's T Clinic can do for you. If you just feel like there's just kind of a funk hanging over you, just a malaise, it could be low testosterone. Why don't you go get your testosterone level checked at mensteaclinic.com. Go to mensteaclinic.com, find one of the four locations, Pearland. They've got a location in Pasadena. They're out in Cypress, and they're out at 1801 Durham on I-10, the Heights location. It's MinstyClinic.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Let's get some phone calls going. 713-780-3776. We got Texans draft. We got, if you guys want to know anything about Texans draft, feel free to ask. I'm also going to write an article on Sports Map, but I promised I would be doing all the draft stuff today on the radio. So quickly, I teased this earlier. They got an undrafted free agent by the name of Jared Jones Smith from Pitt. I think he will be the Texans starting right tackle at some point. While he's in Houston.
Why wasn't he drafted?
So it, probably medical. He had an injury. I think it's his sophomore year. They thought he was going to have his leg amputated at one point.
What?
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal. He is 6 foot. Let me get all this. He's 6'7", 317. He has 36 1/4-inch arms, which are extremely long. It has been a difficult 5+ years for Jones Smith. He lost his father, James Edward Jones, to a brain tumor in December of 2012. After showing promise starting 3 of 13 games played at left tackle as a redshirt freshman, he missed the entire next season after blowing out his knee in 2015. Jones Smith ripped multiple ligaments and his tibia bone twisted to put pressure on a major artery. Lord, he could have lost his leg had medical staff not acted as quickly. Somehow he returned to play in 8 games in 16. One is the team's 6th offensive lineman. The former New Jersey All-State performer earned his degree. So here's what my overview was. Jones Smith's tape will be disappointing if you're looking for athleticism and effective run blocking, but his ability to utilize his long arms as a deterrent to pass rushers is sure to get the attention of NFL teams looking for plus traits. If he checks out medically, he could be a day 3 selection with the ability to compete for a future starting spot at right tackle. His case could be helped or hurt depending on whether or not teams see him as a viable swing tackle. My guess is the medicals probably weren't awesome on him, and he didn't test well, you know, athletically. Well, actually, he ran a 5.22, which isn't bad for a tackle. His 3-cone was a little slow. 16 bench reps, not great.
No.
But he's got also super long arms. So, but he had a game against, I suggest you go to draftbreakdown.com and go look him up. And go look at the job he did against Bradley Chubb. He did a great job against.
And was that when Chubb had an ankle?
I don't think so. Well, he did it on Kentavious Street and Bradley Chubb.
Really?
Those are two guys that were drafted.
Yeah.
And Street would have been a 3rd-round pick if he hadn't torn his ACL. So that was a game that sold me on Jared Jones Smith. I'm like, dude, this guy can play. I think he'll be a starter for the Texans. I said the same thing about Dylan Cole when he came out and Greg Mance as well. I didn't think Greg Mance would be a starter. And Kai Fairbairn. There are certain undrafted frees that I put higher grades on. I have this guy as a potential starter, and I really believe if medically he's okay, because I've seen what a slop show it looks like for the Texans. I knew who Kendall Lamb was. I had a much higher grade on this guy than Kendall Lamb, and Kendall Lamb got plenty of starts for the Texans.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, you know, they also signed, optimal.
Isn't Devin Bellamy the guy that was giving Baker the business after they beat him?
Yes, he is.
Yes.
And he's the guy that gave Mike McGlinchey some work. Whenever
we got to get that sound to Bellamy, what he did to what he was saying about Baker, and when I told him to shut up because Devin Bellamy, you're not the Heisman Trophy winner.
And then Vincent Smith, they got a wide receiver from
Vincent Smith Limestone. They like that guy.
He ran he was like a 4.40 or 4.39 40 with like this 42-inch vertical leap.
And he's
like
long,
super explosive.
Yeah.
Yeah, traits guy, super explosive, and he's got a. He's got a chance probably to make a practice squad, bring him along, and then, you know, eventually he'll be on a roster. Those are two that I really like from their undrafted free agent.
And KJ Malone from LSU.
He's all right. I mean, he could make a team, too. Did you see Carl Malone with his Texans hat on?
Well, I guess he knew.
Have you seen a picture?
No.
He looks like he's 70 now.
Really?
Yeah. Go just type in Carl Malone Texans hat and see if you can see him. He's let his beard go because a beard can trick you. When the beards
get
gray.
Well, yeah, David Letterman.
Yeah. When the beards get gray, it's like, holy crap.
Let me see if I get an image. Let's get some callers in here. 713-780-3776.
Let's get Avery in here first. He was waiting a long
time. All right, Avery, what's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing this morning?
Good, Avery.
Good. How are you?
Good. I want to address something that you guys can probably help me with the Texans. I know a year or so ago, Alfred Blue was pretty much on the chopping blocks, and I think they decided to keep him for special teams, and then he was like third or fourth string running back because we had Foreman. But I know that Foreman got hurt, and with that injury that Foreman had, who is it? Not, and I know that there were conversations about that type of injury, him possibly not being as good as they thought he would be even after coming back from an injury like that. So as far as addressing in the draft, or unless I'm just missing somebody, who is it that we have to accommodate Miller coming out of the backfield? Thanks.
Yeah, so I think it's still – I think the thought is it's still going to be Foreman, even though he's coming off the Achilles injury, which is a little surprising. I thought they could have – I thought they could have looked in a different direction at running back at one point, just because you look at, I mean, I don't really consider, I don't personally consider, from San Jose State.
The
wide receiver / running back.
Yeah.
I don't consider him a viable running back option, not like what they'll need as a backup. They drafted LaVon Coleman. He's a big, I mean, they got him in, as an undrafted free agent. LaVon Coleman from Washington, I thought is just kind of average, but he is big, and he will potentially challenge Alfred Blue, but I think it could be Alfred Blue.
They got Terry Swanson, too.
Yeah, I don't know him at all. I don't know Terry Swanson. I know Coleman. I didn't write Swanson, so I don't know him. Coleman's just okay. Tyler Irvin is who I was thinking of. I mean, he's always hurt. He's a slightly built guy. You could, and actually running back's one of those positions.
But I don't,
guys cut running backs all the time who you can pick
up. I think you're assuming that Foreman's not coming. Is that what the assumption was?
No, I'm assuming he is coming
back. I'm assuming he's coming back, too.
I think the Texans are assuming he's coming
back. I think
they
are, too.
But he's coming back from an Achilles, though.
Yeah, but I still think that the word is Foreman will be back.
Yeah.
You hope is good.
Or they would have drafted a running back in the first, in the first five rounds if.
Because there were plenty of good running backs in this draft.
Yeah.
Plenty.
It was a great running back draft.
Yeah. So I think, I don't know. I don't know about your assumption there, Avery, that Foreman, I think they're thinking Foreman and Miller.
But that was a late, wasn't that late in the season that he had he tore the Achilles? Deontay Foreman? Like, I don't know, man. That's an explosion injury. That's an injury that can bother explosiveness. That's the one thing that worries me is Richard Sherman's coming off of it. Mm-hmm. But hey. You know, they were ready to grab Richard Sherman, San Francisco 49ers. So, obviously, they think he's coming back as well. So, I don't know. I know it ruined Dominique Wilkins' career, but he was a little older.
Let's get who's next. Patrick next here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. So, I have some inside information on why I think the Utah Jazz fans are so terrible. I was raised Mormon. I no longer am, but I can tell you a few things. First, not until I believe the 60s or 70s, they did not allow black men to have any kind of authority or leadership positions in their church. And that is because they have an unspoken belief that they are descendants of Cain, therefore have this air of evil about them, which is ridiculous, of course. And also, if you are not Mormon, that you do not hold the same values that they hold. So therefore, you have an air of evil about you. And it's almost like this whole, bless your heart attitude that they have. You know, that saying of basically you're going to hell, and we can only appease you. And then the third point is there's so much pent-up aggression and so much restriction on what they can do in the Mormon faith that when they have any kind of chance to let anything out, it's just horrible. It's visceral. It's so much just comes out, and it's just terrible. And especially with Utah Mormons who believe that they are better than any other Mormon because they are living in the holy town. So,
wow. I mean, that's great insight. I would say a lot of that, what you said, like, feels like it was pointed at John Granato about they think other people are kind of a little bit evil. That's like a little bit, not a lot. Not a lot. But I need you to listen to this, John.
They're vermin, as I said, and worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. Well,
do you think they would approve
of
your drinking?
Yes.
No, they don't.
If I was in one of their clubs, in Salt Lake City, you can join a club and you can enjoy alcohol. Okay? Now, you may not be welcome at any of the houses, but you can join a club there and partake in alcoholism. And
do you think they would believe you are a descendant of Cain?
Pardon me?
Do you think they would believe you're a descendant of Cain because you would have a tinge of evil?
Well, I'm dark meat.
They do.
That's why.
Yes, they do. They do believe that you are a descendant of Cain.
Yes, I am. I got this question, though. Yeah, they feel that way about all the visiting teams that come in. Do they understand that the guys on the court that were wearing the Utah uniforms, none of them?
But they're one of theirs, guys.
They're not.
Yeah, but let them get traded and see what they say.
It'll change as soon as they're not on the Jazz.
They feel the same way about their players. They're not going to say anything.
Yeah, right. They're not LDS either, but we're going to root for them.
Jazz fans are pragmatic. They don't like them, but they know they can't win because it's not the league of John Stockton and Jeff Hornacek anymore. Now, if they had their way, they would have David Stockton play, who's on the team, by the way, I think right now, and that Neto guy, they would probably tolerate him because he's maybe a half descendant of Cain.
Well, did you see him too? He had a nice layup.
Yeah,
he had a nice layup.
So if they thought David Stockton was better than Donovan Mitchell, or even comparable, they would rather have David Stockton play.
They still want to win.
Oh yeah,
so they can be holier than now.
Well,
they still want to win.
Yeah, and they got Ingles, who
it makes it all better.
They love. Who they love.
God, if he had just gone to BYU, would that be amazing?
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. That would be the best thing ever.
Hey, listen, it is so important.
Bless their little hearts.
What you look like, it is so important in life, what you look like, and especially your house, okay? Curb appeal. What does it look like to potential buyers? That's so, so important. That looks like the storm is behind us. We got to get back and we got to think about, okay, what was the damage done to your, even the outside of your home? Do you have to have new siding? Well, if you do, it's got to be James Hardie Plank. How about this?
MVP and 41.
No, it's James Hardie Plank.
Hardy,
not James Harden. H-A-R-D-I-E. Hardie. H-A-R. D-I-E.
Not D-E-N?
No.
Oh.
It's okay. James Hardie Plank.
That's fine.
Trim, overhang, and this siding, $150 a month for the average size home in Houston. This is the best deal we've seen. Non-prorated 30-year warranty. You've got Allied Siding and Windows, which said the same name and phone number for 30 years. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. 40,000-plus customers in Texas. Over 1,000 styles and color combinations. Long-lasting durability. All of those things. James Hardie Plank from Allied Siding and Windows. Leonard Courtright is the best. When you're going to get his cell phone number when you do business with Allied. 713 Windows, 1 30-second call sets up a 30-minute meeting. You get a $500 Amazon certificate with a whole home siding purchase. You get 100% financing, zero down, zero interest for 18 months. Call them at 713 Windows, 713-946-3697. Allied Siding and Windows, affordable, local, reliable.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John, Lance, and Dell, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. We'll get you in right away. Chuck wants to get in. He had to wait through the break, so let's get him in right away. What do you say, Chuck?
What's going on? Welcome back, Lance.
Thank you.
John, Dell, hello.
Hello.
I got one serious question. Does Malone's kid actually have a chance on making the Texans? And also, I'd like to thank the professor for giving us that Mormon dyslex. But, you know, hey, fans are just fans everywhere. There were whack jobs out in Golden State. Catholics out in Boston and Baptists at OKC, they're all the same. Disrespectful. And the reason why Russell Westbrook snatched that phone is because a fan asked him, I've never seen anybody take 43 shots in 45 minutes. And he just got mad. Y'all have a good day, guys.
It might have been the reason why, but I don't know. You weren't there unless you were at the game. He said they were saying stuff about family and kids, and this is not the first. Unless it's just this is just years of a conspiracy theory where NBA players have gotten together and said, let's make up stuff about Jazz fans. Unless that's the case, then there are some. They take it to the next level. But what he said is probably right. Fans are it can be a-holes anywhere, regardless of religious affiliation, non-religious affiliation, regardless of race, in some cases even gender, because you've seen Patriots fans, female Patriots fans, I've seen videos of things they've screamed, and they have got to go to confession. They've got to go to confession.
Yeah, I think it's part of their religion. Actually, I think they get extra credit in Utah for screaming down. Russell Westbrook because, well, look at Russell Westbrook, the way he dresses. I mean, I can certainly see where that would not go over in Utah, not in that kind of lifestyle. So, The lifestyle that Russell Westbrook is leading.
Dressing like that.
What do you think about his lifestyle would lead them to not appreciate him?
Have you seen the way he dresses?
Do you think they would appreciate him more or you, lifestyle-wise?
Oh, me. Oh, yeah.
Dell?
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook's lifestyle or John's lifestyle?
Well, you're asking a very biased individual because I think no one should like John. Right. So you can't really ask
That's
me.
He's a bad example.
Of all of the people in the league, I shouldn't say all of them, but I would think James Harden would be the guy that they hate most of all because, A, and look, there's lots of players who are probably going to strip clubs and drinking and doing whatever, but James can hang 40 on you. And like single-handedly beat you, which is going to make them hate you more.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that James is going to catch some really nasty stuff in Utah. I think is there such a thing as playoff Jazz fan who comes out for the playoffs and they bring their A game of hate? Like, do you think they bring out the special?
You don't think
Jazz
they
fans?
Kick it up?
That's what I mean. Do they pace themselves during the year and wait for the playoffs to really start throwing racial slurs?
Oh, I don't think so. But I think that they have an extra layer on top.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure about pacing themselves. I'm sure that they throw enough N-bombs around during the regular season.
Yeah, they only have 41 home games and then plus playoffs. I think they're fine. I don't think they need to pace themselves. And this is Russell Westbrook commenting about what happened on Friday night.
Russell, there were a couple times where you, coming out of into the tunnel, you confronted a fan. What happened in those instances?
I don't confront fans. Fans confront me. Here in Utah, man, a lot of disrespectful, vulgar things are said to the players here with these fans. Man, it's truly disrespectful. Talk about your families, your kids, and it's just a disrespect to the game, man. I think it's something that needs to be brought up. And I'm tired of just going out and playing and letting fans say what the hell they want to say. I'm not with that because if I was on the street, they wouldn't just come up to me and say anything crazy because I don't play that. So I just think it's disrespectful when they get the chance to do whatever they want to do. It needs to be put to a stop, especially here in Utah.
You don't play that. And he's right. They wouldn't walk up. They would walk to the other side of the street if Russell.
Well, yeah, if he was walking around Salt Lake.
Yeah.
And they realized he actually didn't play for the Jazz or for you.
No,
the
they would still.
Russell wouldn't have to worry about them saying anything to him because they would have already ostracized him from the community.
Right. He's not one of us. Okay.
I know. What are you talking about, Russ?
Right.
You wouldn't be walking the streets of Salt Lake City. You've been arrested.
They would not talk to you. Okay.
The only one, you would just say any old thing.
The
whatever.
Cops would be the only one talking to you.
Jay says, I've been a U of H football season ticket holder for 10 years. Most obnoxious opposing fan base I've seen in that time period was BYU by far. And we played Oklahoma. Yeah. That's what he said.
Yeah, that is true. But yeah, he would have been arrested for solicitation, wouldn't he?
Why soliciting?
Because the way he's dressed, the way Russell's dressed in Utah, you don't think that the cops would think he was on the corner looking for some money?
I don't know.
To do ugly things to people?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay. You ever seen how Russ dresses?
I don't think that correlates to how a lady of the night dresses.
Oh.
He doesn't wear heels.
I didn't say a lady of the night.
Fine. What?
Okay.
You think they allow male hookers in Salt Lake?
That's what I'm saying. He'd be arrested.
I don't think Russell dresses like a dude who's trolling for a John.
Mm.
I don't think so.
No, he's not looking for a John.
He's just fashion forward.
Okay.
James.
I mean,
James had some little shorts on in that GQ.
Let me tell you something. Now.
You don't think James would be arrested too?
Well, I don't know if that hair would fly in Utah.
Are there any strip clubs in what if James actually ended up in Utah? What if he was drafted by Utah? What if James...
Do you remember who played in Utah? Kirk Snyder played in Utah. It was the most troubling pairing I have ever seen. Kirk Snyder's the guy.
Did he not get out of there as soon as he could?
Kirk Snyder, they got him out of there.
Yeah, right.
Kirk Snyder is the same guy, went to Nevada, that he did some jail time, and then he got out of jail and came back to the Rockets facility, and they saw Kirk was coming in the door, and they immediately alerted, Kirk Snyder's here, Kirk Snyder's here. There's a story that somebody with the Rockets bumped into Kirk Snyder's.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And and this person said, hey, Kirk, I'm really sorry I accidentally hit your car. I bumped into it. I'll pay for it to get it fixed. It was some bumper stuff. It was not outrageous, but it was some bumper stuff that needed to be fixed, and I'll fix your car. Kirk Snyder said... He looked at it and he goes, my boys are going to expect me to F you up. And this person goes, you don't have to beat me up. I'll just
pay for it.
I'll just pay for it and get it fixed. My insurance will get you your loaner of a comparable car. You don't have to fight me.
Well,
and he goes, okay. The Rockets realized Kirk Snyder will fight. It's dangerous with Kirk Snyder in the building. So when he came back after his jail time and he came in, it was basically Omar's coming, where everyone scattered to their offices and like no one wanted to see Kirk Snyder because they had, I guess, cut him. And then remember he went next door in the middle of the night and broke into somebody's house. Like, Kirk Snyder, I don't think was 100% all there.
No.
On March 30th, 2009, he allegedly broke into a Warren County, Ohio home and assaulted a man. Ooh. Deputy said he was charged with aggravated burglary. He pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity.
Well,
okay.
That's always a...
He was convicted and served 3 years in jail.
And I think there was a thought that he wasn't just using that willy-nilly.
No.
That insanity play.
Probably was accurate. All right, let's catch up here. Talk about Craig DeSerf here for a little while.
My man, Craig DeSerf. Love Craig DeSerf because Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC is about one thing. It's about making sure that you're happy in the car buying experience. Now, that can be a variety of things for you. It could be about the selection. It could be about finding the right pickup truck that you want, the right SUV like the Yukon, or maybe it's the Chevy Silverado pickup. Maybe it's the Buick Encore or Enclave. Maybe that is what you want, a crossover vehicle. But it really depends on who you are and what you do, you know, and what you're looking for, which is, it could be price. Everyone wants a good price. That's a given. But we're in a day and age where you know how a lot of the cars drive and how they feel, and you're looking for just selection or price. Or maybe you just want to find the best interior features that you can find. You've got a certain kind of color you're looking for, a combination on the interior and exterior. They go out of their way to find those color combination features, and trade-in values are going to be aggressive. Listen, they're in Angleton, and Craig DeSerf will be the first to tell you. You come on out to Angleton, and we're going to make that drive worth your while. It's going to be a 40 to 45-minute drive for you. Least we could do is save you thousands, and that's what they do, and it's well worth the drive. All you got to do is go to the website, LanceZCars.com, and see all of the vehicles they have in store for you. LanceZCars.com at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, right down in Angleton. Tell them Lance Erline sent you by.
Hola, soy José Altuve, All-Star y MVP. Si necesitas un vehículo nuevo, ven a Gulf Car Chevrolet, Buick and GMC. Chevy, te encuentra camino.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Raheel's going to join us here at the top of the hour right here on ESPN 97.5. We'll also go to 94.1 if you have any issues hearing us on 97.5. You can go switch over to 94.1 and get us over there in the 9 o'clock hour. That happens every day right here on ESPN 97.5. All right, Rockets in action, winning and winning big. We will obviously talk about that with my boy, with Raheel coming in here, big basketball guy. I'll talk about all the action that went on basketball wise. He watches every game, no question about that. Art, Russell's wardrobe is not appropriate in Utah, but these two white guys, no problem. Yeah, those two white guys, no problem. Me and Chad. Yeah, okay.
Art works overtime. That's... Now, trust me, Utah would not like you guys.
No.
They would hate you
guys.
No,
but okay. Would they like us or would they like Russell better? Oh, come on. That's not even...
I mean, you slaughter so many of their rules.
Russell?
Probably Russell's
out. And Russell, probably. You don't judge a book by...
But you're the son of Painter.
You judge in Utah, you judge a book by its cover.
Yeah. Well, you just judge a book by... Well, you look, none of you are on the squad, so it doesn't matter.
None of us.
You're a descendant of Cain, too, apparently.
Well, dark meat.
Well, no, you're just not.
But Chad looks like he could be Mormon, as soon as you talk to him. Other than that, yeah.
What does it look like to be Mormon?
Okay, this
like
question.
Kenneth from 30 Rock?
Are the Jazz the most hated of all Rockets rivals?
Easily.
That's easy.
Yeah.
Number one, not San Antonio.
I don't think so. I think it goes for younger fans, probably more San Antonio or. We don't have the same rivalries because the division stuff is irrelevant.
No, it's not. It doesn't matter.
It used to matter, and now it doesn't matter at all.
Not at all.
Like, don't you hate the Mavericks? Like, nah, I just pity. It's like they don't exist.
No, the division used to. Now it's all conference.
Yeah.
Everything is conference. And Adam Silver wants to make it where you just. 1 through 16 in the entire league, which wouldn't be a bad idea.
It would be interesting. A lot of people don't like it. Mostly it's LeBron. He's like, hey, LeBron's came out in staunch opposition because he said the East should be weaker. Let's keep the East weak.
Yeah.
Make the East weak again.
Right. No, so LeBron could get there every year. Well, I'm staying over here. Yeah, I wouldn't be. It would be shocking if he doesn't go to Philadelphia.
He's going to go there. But although they haven't been mentioned, you know, it's interesting. They were mentioned with Paul George. And I think Kawhi to the Lakers is a really interesting possibility. Although I don't think Pop cares about trade. I don't think he would ever like trade him to the Rockets, for example. But I think you've got to trade Kawhi Leonard now if you're the Spurs. You got to get something for him. It's just, it's over. It's broken. Tony, you have players on the team that were kind of taking shots, and then Pop is taking a shot. Stephen A. Smith said, middle of the year, it's his uncle. And, you know, there's probably an irreparable chasm there, and they're going to have to move. They're going to have to move him. So why not move him and get some talent? Because they will get some talent back for Kawhi Leonard. Provided Kawhi's not really, you know, injured badly. But I just have a feeling this is just a personal thing. Wherever Kawhi goes, he'll turn into a really good Kawhi Leonard again. And maybe you do try to trade him to the Sixers. Like, hey, let's try to pick at their roster a little bit. They got some young, talented guys. Let's see if they'll...
Well, the Lakers do too, though, no?
So do the Lakers.
Yeah. Although I don't want them in the West. I don't want them there at all. Is Golden State at all a rivalry yet?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so, too.
Yeah. I would say Golden State's probably a bigger rival than Utah right now.
Well, but for older guys like us, Utah's the most hated.
Well, I mean, you just remember how, look, their fans, all it's going to take is one time where a fan runs on the court and throws water in somebody's face or whatever they do, starts screaming at them or tries to do whatever Jazz fans do that's hateful and borderline racist. Did you see the video leak out, the old one? I had never seen this view. where Vernon Maxwell, I retweeted it, goes into the stands and punches.
Yeah, Stephen George.
He was a Portland fan.
Portland.
He goes and socks him right in the face and then walks back down and sits on the bench. I can't remember. Was he kicked out of the game? Like,
oh, yeah, he was kicked out of the game.
That's kind of a major, major deal.
Yeah.
The NBA, he would have been suspended for multiple games. I can't remember if he was suspended for that.
Yeah, he was suspended.
Yeah, you can't punch fans without catching a suspension.
Yeah. That was, wasn't that the year that, and then right after that, he left the team.
Was that the same year?
In Utah.
Yeah, it had to be because Robert Horry was there. Robert Horry's the one who had to come get him out of the stands.
Well, Robert Horry was there for all of them. Remember?
No, I know, but Vern was there. Wasn't Vernon there before Robert Horry? No, I mean, I think they came in the same year, maybe.
Well, this was one of the year that they won their second championship. Oh, we got to take a break. Look at Dell's ruining everything again.
Thanks for nothing,
Del. Thanks, Dell.
Man, just go to break.
It's just embarrassing.
Just go to break.
All right. Stop. All right. You too. Oh, Raheel wants to get in on the show.
Go to break.
Let's talk about, okay, you want to talk about Renter's Warehouse? That's what you, Dell's like, hey, I'm sick of this talk about sports. I want to hear you guys talking about Renter's Warehouse.
Yeah, talk about Ohtani and what he can do to rent a place in your head.
Hey, that's not what Renter's Warehouse is all about. You know what Renter's Warehouse is all about? Getting you in a house where they do everything, okay? They do everything at Renter's Warehouse. You do, like, nothing, and you get paid. Here's the deal, is a lot of cases, if you haven't even looked to see how much you can rent your house out for, all you have to do is give them a call or go to renterswarehouse.com, 713-224-RENT, 713-224-RENT. Or go to renterswarehouse.com. You tell them where you live, what your square footage is, how many bedrooms you've got. They'll figure out the school district. They'll do all of these things, and they'll say, "Well, here's what you can get." And you're like, "Holy crap! I can get that much when my mortgage is only this much. I'm making money on this deal." This happens every day.
Just tell you this right now, Renter's Warehouse, if you can sell your home quickly, then that's great. But if you can't, then you are about to feel a lot of pain when you're paying mortgage there and then maybe a mortgage somewhere else. And even if you can sell your home quickly, does it make the most sense? Because if the homes in that neighborhood are going up and up and up, why not rent out your property and then sell it in 2, 3, 4 years? Why don't you make all that money, add even more equity? And as your house continues to go up in value, sell it down the road. But let Renter's Warehouse, for one low monthly fee, handle everything for you. And money will just roll into your bank account every single month while someone else pays your mortgage. Renterswarehouse.com, 713-224-RENT.
ESPN 97.5.